Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Benyart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. I hope you are outraged over Netflix. In a moment, we'll have on the line Donna Rice Hughes of Enough is Enough, making the internet safer for children and families. I'm outraged over Netflix perpetually, but especially so in the last month with this horror of child sexual exploitation they call a film called Cuties. And when a grand jury in Texas a week ago or so, when they indicted Netflix, I was beside myself with thankfulness that there is at least an effort to hold someone accountable. And a leader in that very effort is Donna Rice Hughes of Enough is Enough, enough.org. Donna, welcome to Bob Benyart Live.
Thank you, Bob. It's great to be with you.
Well, could we lay out the case? I'm sure 90% of the people in our audience have heard about this film, Cuties. But Could you explain the film itself?
Right.
What is the concept of the film, and why are so many people outraged?
Yes, the concept of the film, it's about a preteen girls' dance club at a school and kind of a coming-of-age story. And Netflix and the film's producers have basically said that it's a social commentary on the sexual exploitation of children, specifically young girls. The problem is that the very children that they are talking about exposing or that are being sexually exploited, they're sexually exploiting within their film.
So they're doing exactly what they're claiming that for a socially valid purpose, they are exposing. In fact, they're exploiting these kids. I sent out a tweet saying when Netflix film was designed to expose sexual exploitation of children, we're thankful they didn't make a film on sexually assaulting children.
Because, exactly.
Yeah, they're committing the very crime. Now, Donna Rice Hughes, we have some friends, some scholars, mutual friends who are fighting this battle also. But I don't believe you know anything about us and our program, Bob Benyart Live. We've been on the air for 30 years. And the battle against pornography has been one of our themes. And here, some might say we're hypersensitive, but when conservative news outlets, even Christian-leaning news outlets, I'll give an example, WorldNet Daily, when they report on stories like this, and there are so many stories like this, in their reporting, they actually use sexually enticing photographs of young children to say, look how terrible this is. I don't mean a frame from this film. I mean, generally speaking, Fox News is infamous for doing this. They will show, you know, practical pornography, lewd images of children while they're saying, oh, it's so terrible that people use lewd images of children. That, I believe, we criticize that here on Bob Benyart Live.
Well, good. I'm glad you do, because there is that balance and that line. And what this film Cuties did is they crossed it. They crossed it in such an exploitive way. And just for your audiences to know, even in the trailers advertising this film, there is one scene in the film Cuties in which this is about a dance club of young preteen girls, and they're on stage dancing before an audience and in very skimpy outfits, and doing what I would call stripper type dance moves.
Right.
I mean, the kind of dance moves that you would see in a strip club performed by adult women, and very provocative, very close-ups of their bodies that scan up and down the bodies of these little girls, showing, you know, with their legs spread and all of this kind of stuff. It's just unbelievable. And that is just the icing on the cake in this film. Wow. There's another scene in which one of these girls, now remember, these actresses are young, they're minor children.
Right. Themselves. They're portraying 11-year-old girls. Is that right?
Yes, but they are also young as well.
Yes.
They're about the actresses themselves. But there's another.
As human beings, Donna, let me say this before you describe that scene. The difference between violence in films and, say, nudity in R-rated films, PG-13 films in the theaters at home. Mm-hmm. The difference between violence and nudity is that the violence is fake. The violence is make-believe.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The nudity, the sexual nudity, is enough to destroy a marriage, enough to destroy a teenager, a child. And this is far more addicting than drugs are addicting. The sexual immorality that's marketed in our culture. So this scene, please continue.
There's another scene that's even more disturbing than the dance scenes, and that is when one of the young girls, this one of the dancers, she is seen taking down her pants, taking down her underwear, and taking her cell phone and taking a selfie shot between her legs, and then posting that online, which is what we call sexting, and sending that out. There's another scene where she actually
right there, Donna, of course, with countless thousands of children already having their lives practically ruined before they hardly begin because of sexting, doing that regardless of what moral they're going to try to tell in the story, doing that is going to certainly prompt a significant percentage of the kids who see that film, who hadn't thought of doing that, to think of doing exactly that.
Yes. In fact, I just wrote a press release that went out today and talked specifically about the problem of sexting. And when young girls or teenage girls or even older girls, when they see this type of behavior glamorized on the screen, and they then, it gives them what we call permission giving beliefs and attitudes that this type of behavior is acceptable and that it is safe and that it is even desirable. And that is very dangerous. You made the point about sexting. Sexting has gone up dramatically during COVID lockdown. In fact, Teen Vogue actually put out articles as soon as COVID hit, that a way for these young girls and teenage girls and boys to keep their sex lives alive would be to sext.
Right.
Now, understand that when an image or a video is created of a minor child, regardless of who does it, it can be a sexual predator or the kid themselves, they are creating child pornography under the law, which is a felony. So it is so irresponsible and outrageous for whether it's Teen Vogue or the cute film to actually normalize this kind of behavior that can be so dangerous for these kids.
Yeah.
Because when these sexting images are out there, they are fodder for sexual predators to get a hold of, to sextort these kids, to have revenge porn type of things going on. And it's just an incredibly dangerous thing to say to kids by mainstream media like Netflix and Teen Vogue that this type of behavior is not only okay, it's encouraged.
And when Teen Vogue does this, that is not an anomaly for them. It's not an anomaly for the industry. We recently interviewed Debbie DeGroff. She's an associate of Dr. Judith Reisman, who we've had on with The Danger of Pornography. She wrote a book years ago, Soft Porn Plays Hardball. But Debbie DeGroff's book, terribly well documented on children's books, it's called Between the Covers. It is absolutely horrifying what is the norm in books for children, including young children, middle school age and younger, is often explicit sexual material. And Planned Parenthood here, we're in Denver, Colorado. Planned Parenthood of the Rocky Mountains put out a newsletter some years back. We read from it right on the air, and I think I could quote it from memory. It says, "Our goal as educators is to help children achieve sexual satisfaction before graduation," or something along, basically, yeah. That's what they said. So it's pretty much out that they do want kids to engage in sexual activity, and that in and of itself in the past would have been criminal. Just that would be criminal.
Yes, and I can tell you that we know that the public is outraged because we started a shutdown Teen Vogue petition a number of months ago when COVID started. They've done a lot of things, Teen Vogue, that is just over the top outrageous. But finally, we just said enough is enough. You know that they're not putting out anything good. So at enough.org, people can go sign the Teen Vogue petition. They can also sign our cuties petition. I just sent a letter yesterday from Enough is Enough and the Parent Television Council, who we're partnering with, to the Department of Justice, to Attorney General Barr, asking them, the Department of Justice, to look into cuties to bring child porn charges against them. And so we already know, of course, that the Texas grand jury has done so, but to ramp it up to a federal indictment, I think it at this point is the right way to go. Because here's the thing, Bob, it's not just this film. There are so many other programs on these streaming platforms. And I think at this point, before it gets any worse than it already is, the Department of Justice needs to say, wait a minute, there is a zero tolerance policy on child pornography in this country. And if you make these choices in your programming, then you're going to get slapped with indictments, period. Mm-hmm. So this is a really important thing. Otherwise, they're going to continue to push the envelope further and further and further. So that's what we're asking them to do. And then we'll also be sending, we've got 20,000 petitions so far to the Netflix executives, again, saying America is asking you to remove this film from your platform and other similar productions that simply are not appropriate in this culture.
We have an especially difficult battle because our Christian leaders, for the most part, have accepted the legitimacy of pornography itself. They have claimed, we believe completely wrongly, that you actually have a right to produce pornography. But in that world where Christian leaders themselves are affirming pornography as legitimate, as legally valid, then we're hoping that the culture will somehow draw a reasonable line. And once we begin marketing in human sexuality, once we openly market human sexuality, producing a porn film and paying an actress is no different than prostitution. It is prostitution. And that is completely accepted. Donna, it's not only accepted by our culture, it is accepted. I know because we've been looking into this and doing interviews with Christian leaders for decades. It is accepted by our Christian leaders. Well, this has to be legal because you have a right to what? Market in human sexuality. That is very much unlike any Judeo-Christian legal precedent for the last 3,500 years, when sexual behavior outside of marriage was not only a sin, it was also criminal. But today, adultery is legal, pornography is legal, and just go down the list.
Well, actually, pornography is not legal. So we've got a lot of information about this on our website. So if I can give
Yeah,
your audience a
please.
quick, what I call pornography 101 lesson, because
Please
this is
do.
very, very important. Okay, there are three types of pornography considered not protected under the First Amendment by the Supreme Court of the United States. The first is child pornography, where we're talking about that, where a child is depicted in some type of sexually graphic, sexually explicit conduct and behavior. That is always per se illegal.
Right.
Then there is what is called under the law obscene pornography. Now, this is refers to hardcore pornography, which depicts graphic sexual activity. It also includes content that is extremely deviant, like rape pornography, violent pornography, bestiality, incest themes, this type of content, strangulation, violence. That type of content is illegal in the
So,
United States of America under federal obscenity laws. Let me finish. Under federal obscenity laws, and it has been for a very long time. The problem is that those laws have not been aggressively enforced since the internet. So that is the type of content, that is the type of pornography that has flooded the internet. That is the type of content that our kids are getting a steady diet of as young as 9 and 10 years old. They are watching this stuff. It is shaping their sexual template. And not only is it illegal for them, it's illegal for adults. So what we
So,
have been doing at
yeah.
Enough is Enough is for years, we've been trying to get these federal laws enforced. And in fact, last election season, we wrote Enough is Enough, wrote the Children's Internet Safety Presidential Pledge. And Donald Trump signed it, Hillary Clinton supported it. And we asked them if they became president, if they would appoint an attorney general that would aggressively enforce all the federal laws on the books, including obscenity, and of course, including sex trafficking laws, child pornography laws, sexual predation laws. And we asked them to do a whole lot of other things. So they've done a great job in the Trump administration on all of it, except for enforcing the obscenity laws. And we are working day and night to get them to do this and to turn the corner on this particular law. But you made a really good point. And let me just go. The other third type of pornography is what most people think of as porn. And that is the more softer type of content, the Playboy penthouse, that type of content. That is legal for adults, but not for kids. All right. So that's the way it breaks down
So,
legally.
okay. So everything you've just said is, of course, completely correct. And it doesn't contradict what I said, that our Christian leaders believe that pornography not only is legal, but should be legal, that they legitimize it. They say, well, you do have a free speech right. And so if adults want to make films of themselves, they have that right to do that. I debated the director of the Colorado ACLU, Jim Joy, on public television here in Colorado. And with him, the standard was far worse with the ACLU than it is with our Christian leaders. It was a bit of a battle, but he finally admitted, to the shock of the host, that the ACLU actually supports the distribution of child pornography. They only oppose the creation of child pornography, but they
That's correct.
support, while they will shut down Christian free speech, the ACLU, they pretend to be free speech advocates. Under that guise, they actually support the distribution of child pornography. Now, our
That's
Christian,
right.
yes, but our Christian leaders are different. They're not there, but Donna, a level above what you just described. You just described the legal scene perfectly as we understand it, but a level above that. You know how the left in America, the progressives, it's almost as though they want to outlaw hurricanes and forest fires, right? Absurd laws that can't possibly work. So when America went down the path of deciding how to regulate marketing human sexual behavior. How to turn a woman into an object, into a product that can be marketed. When America went down that path with our laws and jurisprudence, it was just as absurd as the left to think they're going to somehow change the law and stop hurricanes and forest fires. It's just as absurd for Christian leaders to think, well, we're going to acknowledge that this kind of sexual behavior can be sold. Women can be products. You can market human sexuality, but we are going to have the law and the culture draw a line right here. And there is no commission that's going to watch hundreds of thousands of porn videos produced every few months and decide which ones cross that line and which ones don't. So the layout is not workable. We can fight this for the rest of our lives. We are never going to get obscenity actually stopped and normal pornography continue. That will never happen. Is that discouraging,
well,
Donna, that you
Bob,
hear?
I'm going to be a little more optimistic.
Okay.
No, Bob, I've been fighting this 25 years, since 1994.
Yeah, thank you for
that.
In
fact, we were the first voice that actually launched the internet movement.
Yes.
And I believe, Lord willing, that we will get these obscenity laws eventually enforced. We're working very closely with the Department of Justice. We've also just sent the pledge to Joe Biden. Hopefully he's going to sign it. But let me say this.
Yes.
You are right. And I can tell you that on my board of advisors is Josh McDowell, and he will tell you as he travels the world that the number one problem inside the church is pornography.
Right.
I can tell you that because I've seen it over and over. And the head of Promise Keepers will tell you the same thing. We know this is true. And so let me just say this. If when you go to 2 Chronicles 7:14, when God calls his people to humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, one of the things that is absolutely critical, I believe, and leaders around the country and the world are with me on this, is that the church itself, when I say the church, I mean the body of Christ, people who call God their Lord and Savior and are born again,
right,
that we have got to recognize as the body of Christ, that there is a tremendous amount of sexual brokenness inside the church, including pornography use. That's just one area. There's child sex abuse. Then you can go on and on and on. And we have to get real about this and be a safe place for people who are struggling to get help. Also for those who are just abusing this content and will not repent from it, to be held to account. We have to protect our children. Parents have got to be the first line of defense. Kids as young as 8, 9, and 10 years old are getting addicted to this stuff. And the church is where it starts. This is what judgment starts at the house of the Lord. And let me just tell you, Bob, you and your audience, I'm so glad we're talking about this. I'm working with a lot of leaders from around the country. And we are starting a time of 40 days of prayer and fasting starting this Saturday at jointhefast.org, where we are calling for people all over the world to come together. We're not specifically calling out this issue of sexual brokenness and exploitation, even though that's one of the areas that I'm going to be personally fasting and praying over, but that we can see our culture change. I sincerely believe this. If the church of Jesus, if God can clean up his body and get us to deal with the issues we have long ignored within our midst, this is one of the key ones that has got to be prevented up and dealt with.
So jointhefast.org. Thank you very much for that. We will link to that also. We're speaking with Donna Rice Hughes of Enough is Enough, and her organization website is at enough.org. That couldn't be easier. Donna, something to consider in your battle. Absolutely, without any question, Josh McDowell is completely correct. I read his Evidence That Demands a Verdict, 35 years ago, the first bigger, thicker version of it. And it was just fabulous. Yeah, that's great. And he's absolutely right. Pornography is taking out the church the same way it's taking out the secular world. And young men are not getting married till their 30s because they don't need a woman. They got video games and right. and fast food and internet pornography. But soft porn is more addicting than hardcore porn. Softcore porn, the softer the porn, the more addicting. And so if we were to get rid of all obscenity overnight and all deviant porn, we would not reduce the addiction to pornography in the church. That wouldn't do it.
Well, one of the things that we don't have in the law, and I was Enough is Enough helped lead this battle in the 90s, we try to get those same protections that protect minor children from getting the soft core pornography applied to the internet. And Congress passed two laws that we were very involved in getting passed, but the Supreme Court struck them both down. So now we don't even have that legal protection for children, where a child can't go get a Playboy or a Penthouse magazine in a bookstore or a magazine rack. But they can get that and all this hardcore content and more, even child pornography on the internet. And so it is a hot mess out there.
Yes.
Yes, I will tell you, it's the playground. It's very demonic. And because this is a way that the enemy is killing, stealing, and destroying our sexual integrity and our very life, our emotional and mental life, and the life of our kids.
Yes.
And so it's something that I urge every parent to be aware of, to understand that your own child is not immune from falling into this trap of pornography and sexual exploitation online, where predators are seeking out kids, they're grooming them, traffickers are looking for them, trafficking and predation has gone up multiple fold since lockdown, because when kids are online more, that means the sexual predators and the criminals are online more, seeking them out and exploiting them.
Donna,
and we've got a lot of information on our website at enough.org to empower parents to learn how to better protect their own children.
Donna, we're almost out of time. In all these years on the air, 30 years, there's one time in fact, one time in my whole life that I asked someone to go online and look at pornography. And I want to tell you what that was. I'm not recommending this at all, but Cheryl and I, my wife, we've raised 7 sons. Wow. And years ago, I was doing everything I could conceivably think of to do to protect our kids from the internet. We've done programs on it. We have our own articles on it, all the tools you can use. And my wife, innocent, beautiful Christian woman, just didn't get it. It's like I was obsessed. And so I said, Cheryl, I'm going to ask you, go in the other room and for 60 seconds, just search porn. And she came back a minute later and was stunned by what she had seen in 1 minute. And from that time till today, now our youngest is 19. We still have 3 youngest living at home. They're just the most wonderful guys in the world. But from that time until today, she has been completely with me as a team, doing everything we could possibly do to try to protect our kids. But Donna, let me tell you, it's almost impossible.
It's very hard. And you're so right. We did the same thing. That's how we got the laws passed. We put a binder together of this material and we passed it around the United States Senate in 1995. We did the same thing with all of our briefings. When the media would come to my office with their camera crews rolling, I would take them and show them this content, because in the 90s, people didn't understand how bad it was. And I can tell you, in every single case, even a New York Times reporter had to leave my office and go throw up after I showed him some of the violent content.
Oh, right.
So, but I don't do that anymore. But right. I had to show them early on to educate them that this is not airbrush nudity stuff. This is hardcore. It will make most people, most adults, sensible adults, hair stand up on end, and it is just awful.
Yes.
And we have to realize that our kids are getting spoon fed this content, and it is literally wrecking their lives.
Yes.
And it's got to stop. And only through the body of Christ, praying and fasting and calling on the mercy of God, and ourselves saying, we cannot ignore this ourselves, and we can't be passive about it either. And we've got to recognize that our own children are not safe, and do all that we can as parents to start with protecting our children in our homes. And we've got so much information about how parents can do that at internetsafety101.org, which is our parent program.
Well, we will link to that also, Donna, from our own article. We'll put that right at the top of our article on this. I want to thank you. We're out of time. What an honor to speak with Donna Rice Hughes. Donna, enough is enough. We will promote your organization, and thank you so very much for being in the fight.
Thank you, Bob. We appreciate you. We appreciate your voice and using your platform.
Okay. May God bless you. So this is Bob Enyar, our website, kgov.com, kgov.com/pornography will help you find the tools you will need to protect yourself, your family, children, and adults, everyone. Hey, this is the pastor of Denver Bible Church. May God bless you.